We want to celebrate Pastor Keith today, right? This is all about appreciating him and what he does. And, all right, let's see if this works. There we go. All right, Walt came up with this somewhere. Well, let's read through this. What we're going to do is all three of us are going to take part of this, and we're going to talk about this morning. So Pastor Keith, and you see the word pastor there. A pastor's heart is protective, and he guards his flock from Satan's snares. A pastor's heart is attentive, and he seeks to know his people's cares. A pastor's heart is sacrificial, and for his sheep will give its all. A pastor's heart is tender, and he listens to the Spirit's call. A pastor's heart is obedient, and he heeds the master's commands. A pastor's heart is reflective and considers he is but a man. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for our awesome pastor, Lord, who leads us and guides us. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given him a heart for us and for his people. Most of all, Lord, he has a heart for Jesus, and he always puts Jesus first. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to worship here and to come under him and under his leadership. We just ask you continue to bless him, and guide him, give him the wisdom that he needs, the strength and the encouragement. And Lord, help us all to just encourage and celebrate Pastor Keith today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. The first one is a pastor's heart is protective and guards his flock from Satan's snares. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus is often referred to as the Good Shepherd, right? He compares himself, and the Bible talks a lot about sheep and shepherds. And the first two parts that I have here relate to a shepherd and his sheep. And as I studied this a little bit, I found out that sheep are not very, it's not a complimentary term in the Bible. Sheep need to be led or they're going to die. They're not real bright sometimes. And one of the things that a pastor does is he protects his flock. Amen. So what we're going to do is I'm going to relate these things here to Pastor Keith. And to me, God's word is really clear about the biblical qualifications to be a shepherd. And there's a couple of different passages. I'm going to read out of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 to 7. It says, "Now the overseer or pastor must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect, Michelle. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of the church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and fall into the devil's trap." Amen? And I see so much of that applies to Pastor Keith. And you know, to me, a godly shepherd's faithfulness and his character is borne out over time. It's not something you just see right away in a flash in the pan. How many of you known someone who's great one day, and the next day you find out something totally wrong, and they're in jail or disgraced? It's over time you see someone's character, and they show their character, and they display that character. And it takes time to be faithful with that. A pastor is qualified to lead not by an impressive list of external characteristics. And by that I mean not because of his skills, physical qualities, because he's funny, because he's cool, because he has great musical abilities, you know, not because he's a great polished speaker, but he's qualified to lead by establishing a pattern of integrity and purity and righteousness, which is his heart. And in 27 years, he's been my pastor, my shepherd. And I've had a chance to see that heart up close. You know, shepherds are not fancy people. You go back to the Bible, shepherds were not. They were leaders. They led a flock. But They were very hands-on. They were smelly and got dirty. They were not up here somewhere leading their flock. They were in with the flock. You know why? Because they loved their flock. They loved their sheep. And I see that all the time with Pastor Keith. There's so much that being with him, I've had a chance to see that a lot of you guys don't even get a chance to see, but hopefully you pick up on that when he preaches, when he talks to you, when he takes those phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning, when he's there when you need something. And you can see his heart. See, shepherds feed and lead their sheep, or else the sheep will not grow and they won't survive. Do you know that? Sheep are pretty helpless. And the pastor, the shepherd, the good shepherd, has to lead them everywhere. Feeding the sheep is one of the most important things that a shepherd does, or a pastor does. Because, you know, sheep, just like little kids, they don't always know what's best for them. Sometimes they might eat something that's not good. So the shepherd leads us to the good food, amen? To the good places, not the poisonous fruit or poison. Now, another, I'm going to get into this now to protect the sheep, because another aspect of this is the pastor protects his sheep. Paul in Ephesians exhorted the church to be alert. And he said, protect the church from spiritual threats to the pastor. He said, be on guard for yourselves, this is to pastors, and all the flock amongst which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Pastor Keith knows this is not his church. This is Jesus' church. Amen. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. This is part of protecting the flock from Satan's snares. Okay? Sheep are, like I said, almost defenseless. I found out they can't even bite or kick or scratch or jump. They can't run. They're really slow. So what happens is when sheep get attacked by a predator, they all huddle together. Instead of running away, they huddle together. And you know what that makes them? More vulnerable. If a wolf is coming in or some animal, sheep need a shepherd protecting them to survive. And Christians are similar because there's so much error out there. There's so much false teaching out there. And there's people spreading it all over the place. Amen? So we need someone to protect us and shelter us and take care of us against those savage wolves. And then sometimes a pastor or a shepherd has to rescue sheep when they go off on their own. You know, if you read through, we don't have time to get into this because I'm limited very, 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 very much on time. But if you get into reading about the shepherd, and every time the Bible talks about shepherds, one of the most important things they do is go out after the one who went astray. Because you know what? On their own, that one is in a dangerous situation. He needs to stay with the flock. He needs to stay under the pastor's care. Amen? He needs to be under that. Just like lost sheep, man, lost people need a rescuer. Someone to lead them back to the safety of the fold. And a pastor does that all the time, like the good shepherd. And the Bible says, too, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And you may not think Pastor Keith lays down his life for his sheep, but I know this man's heart, and I know he would. And I know he has many, many times put many other people ahead of himself. A godly shepherd knows how precious sheep are to Jesus, because he's the good shepherd, right? They're his sheep. We are his sheep. So, another thing about a good shepherd is he can't bounce around from flock to flock. He stays with the flock. The flock knows him. How do you get to know someone? By spending time with them, right? If you were with a different flock every other week, they wouldn't know your voice very well. He's been here for a long time. 32 years. Amen. And one more way that a pastor oversees the flock is by his example, by his life, by the way he lives. Okay? Pastors is not an easy job, but it requires getting in amongst the sheep. It requires getting in there and being one of the sheep so you get to know who the sheep are and get to know them. And I'm hoping some of you can relate to this with Pastor Keith. And if you can't, then I encourage you to get to know him a little bit better, because he loves you and he wants to get to know you. All right, for the sake of time, I'm going to cruise on here to Pastor's Heart is Attentive and Seeks to Know His People's Cares. Like I said before, a good shepherd understands his sheep and what they need better than the sheep do. And I think this is, again, just like a father with his kids. A lot of times we have kids and they don't know what's best for them, even though they think they do, right? Pastor Keith, every single week when he prepares a message, is listening to God for what do the sheep need this week? What do we need this week? Let me read out of John chapter 10 real quick, and then I'm going to be out of time. John chapter 10 is the story where Jesus compares himself to the good shepherd. I just want to read a couple of these verses because, again, he's talking about a sheep and a shepherd. He says in John 10:1, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. Who knows? We got a sheep of robber out there, right? A thief who's trying to come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the shepherd's job is to keep us in that pen, to protect us. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. See the analogy again with a pastor and his sheep? Now, I want to close with one little thing here I found online. And I want to read this kind of quickly. It's 20 good characteristics of a shepherd. And like I said, as I read through these, I see Pastor Keith in every single one of these. And I want you to try to think of your relationship with Pastor Keith. And if you can see this too. First of all, a good shepherd loves his sheep and develops a close relationship with them so that they know his voice and they trust him. We wouldn't be here today if we didn't trust him. Amen? A good shepherd understands the needs of his sheep better than they do, like I just said. A good shepherd understands what threatens the sheep and what makes them sick, so he's careful what to feed them. A good shepherd works tirelessly to provide protection and security. A good shepherd leads the sheep to fresh pastures and fresh water. A good shepherd searches out the sheep when they go astray. He defends the sheep against all their enemies, and he provides protection for the sheep while they sleep. You know, a lot of times you don't even know how much Pastor Keith is praying for you. And it's the analogy again with the sheep. The sheep are sleeping, and the shepherd is out there keeping watch for them. He's keeping an eye out for the ravaging wolves and everything else that may come and try to get them. A good shepherd will shear his sheep and examine them for injuries. He goes ahead of them and prepares the path. He disciplines and corrects the sheep. That's not a fun one, is it? A good shepherd comforts the sheep when they are hurtful or fearful. A good shepherd keeps the sheep on the move and growing so they don't get into a rut. A good shepherd liberally anoints them with oil. In those days, they did that to prevent diseases or to heal a wound. They poured oil on it. And Pastor Keith pours oil on us every single Sunday. Amen. Fresh oil. A good sheep keeps his sheep from fighting and hurting each other. Because sheep will do that too. They'll get into it with each other. A good shepherd cares for, loves his sheep, and sacrifices his life for them. A good shepherd rejoices in the health and well-being and prosperity of his flock. A good shepherd will leave the flock to search for the lost sheep. A good shepherd will carry the lambs and the young close to his heart, and he will gently lead those that have young ones. And a good shepherd gets the deepest satisfaction from seeing that his sheep are content, well-fed, and safe. Amen? It's not about Pastor Keith. It's about his sheep. And I know that because I know his heart. And I appreciate that. And I've seen that over and over again. I hope you all can see that too with him. Amen? All right, I'm the oldest, so I got to go first. So, Walt's next? All right.
We're good. He's got more fancy stuff there. I hope you can read that. I'm not sure. It didn't come out very well here, but it's hopefully written by a child, but it says, "Dear Pastor, thank you for all you do, for your work, your kindness, and guidance too. You point to Jesus, you walk the walk. We usually listen when you talk. We think you're special, we think you're great, and we will pray for you every day in October. No, really, Pastor, we've got your back. Now we'll cut you a little slack. We truly think that you're the best, and we thank you for all that you invest. God bless you, Pastor." I was thinking about my pastor. By that I mean the pastor who married Connie and I. He used to say, and oftentimes I wondered about this, he used to say, "You know, I love the ministry. It's just the people I can't stand." I used to wonder about that. But, you know, there are times when you deal with people that there are real challenges. And so the interesting thing about what we were looking at and are looking at this morning is the fact that to really fulfill the role of a pastor, you have to have a pastor's heart. And no matter what other gifts God grants, having a pastor's heart is the true key to leading a flock. And so this morning, while we're not here doing pastor worship, we are honoring our pastor. Because there's a lot more to it than just standing up on Sundays and speaking for, you know, half hour, 45 minutes. There's a lot more to it than that. And I've seen people question, you know, how in the world, what do you do the rest of the week? I mean, you stand up and speak for 30, 45 minutes and you're done. I wish I had a job like that. Well, we'll keep it in the, yeah, okay, 45 to an hour. That's all right. That works too. But I was looking at the scripture, and I was thinking about the pastor's heart and, of course, the 2 points that I have here. And I was looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, and it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, take the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre," that's kind of an interesting term, filthy lucre, not doing it for money, which we know is not the case. Anybody know that? Okay, just in case. You know, there used to be a saying, "Lord, you keep him humble and we'll keep him poor." Yeah, that still kind of seems to hang over for some reason. That one should have gone out a long time ago, but at any rate. But of a willing mind. I mean, being a pastor is not something you just, "Oh, I think I'll be a pastor." I think there's a lot more to it than that. There's a divine calling that comes on a person's life and a heart that gets shaped by God's Spirit to lead people to feed his flock. In verse 4, he says, and this is the cool verse. I never fully realized this. Verse 4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away." There's a crown for pastors. I thought that was pretty cool. I never really realized that before. I know there are other crowns in the scripture, but that's pretty cool. You know, the imagery that lies behind this scripture and the scriptures that Pastor Dan read were all that of a shepherd and his flock. You know, the imagery of the shepherd was deep in the heart of Israel, their patriarchs were shepherds. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they tended their flocks. Moses was a shepherd on the backside of the desert with Jethro's flock. He tended them for 40 years. And David, the sweet singer of Israel, he was a shepherd. Now, some of the great prophets like Amos was a shepherd. So the ideal of a shepherd was a goal to which the heart of Israel was continually aspiring. And that is the imagery that lies behind so many pastoral figures when you look throughout the scripture. And that's what Simon Peter is using here as the background to his message to that particular group of pastors and leaders in the church. So when he says to the elders, he who is a fellow elder, feed the flock of God, it reminds me of another passage that the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Acts. He didn't write this, but he spoke it. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has given you overseer to feed the flock of God. Now, there's a second point in there I just want to make briefly, that you don't choose to be a pastor. God chooses you to be a pastor. I have been in the role more than once and in many different capacities. And I remember someone asking me one time, did you get elected as pastor? And I said, no, God chose me a long time ago. People don't vote you in or people don't vote you out. If you're God's man, you're God's man. I thank God we have God's man and woman, by the way. Kathy, you know, Pastor Keith, you have to say behind every great man stands a great woman. Or you can turn that around. Behind every great woman stands a great man, right? They go hand in hand. But I thought it's such an interesting thing how that Peter here was using this particular picture for us as we look at the pastor's heart. You know, the word for a shepherd means to tend, to feed. And the word feeding the flock that's used in the scriptures here, it comes from the same root word as the word pastor, to feed or to tend. And so it is used in other places for feeding and tending and providing for, caring for. So it's the same imagery that the Lord used in speaking to Peter in the 21st chapter of the book of John, where he says to him those famous words, and we all know, Simon, do you love me? Well, that's a word, isn't it? He replied, Lord, you know that I love you. And the Lord said, feed my sheep, tend my flock, shepherd my congregation. Now, it's kind of the expanded version, but that's what he said. Now, looking at this passage, feed the flock of God, and when the shepherd, the chief shepherd, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. We're looking at the reward of what God says will come from those who are faithful. You know, there are five crowns in the scripture. I'm not going to go through those five crowns. I don't have time. But it just still amazes me that the last crown that's spoken of in this group of crowns in the scripture is that of the shepherd's crown. And that shepherd's crown, to me, indicates a divine calling. It's not a job. It's a calling. And that's hard to understand sometimes. But when you've been in that role, you can understand that it's not something, you know, you don't get elected sheriff and get elected pastor. And those aren't equated. You can be elected by people and do a job, but people who elect you can fire you. If God calls you, nobody can fire you except God, and he's not going to. So that's pretty cool, right? I found this statement, and I thought of it every time pastor talks and mentions those occasions when he felt maybe inclined toward offering a resignation. Every pastor resigns on Monday, and Tuesday picks it back up and says, okay, I got to keep on going. But I read this about Dr. George W. Truett, who was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. At one point in Dr. Truett's life, he was invited to become the president of Baylor University, a prestigious position. But he turned it down. And he turned down the gentleman who offered him that position with these words, saying, "I have sought, I have prayed for and received the shepherd's heart." That was his answer. And as a result of that, he remained as the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas for 47 years. So you got a little further to go. But every time I hear 33, I think that's special. That's truly special. I actually heard someone say one time that to become a pastor, you really have to be in your church and in your community for at least 10 years. And I think I found that to be true, because your community knows you, your church knows you, and you know your community and your church. I can't tell you how many people, when they ask me, and we've been a part of this congregation now for 3 years, I believe, and I've had people ask me, "Well, where are you going now?" And I'll say, "Grace Family Church." And I go, "Well, who's the pastor?" And I'll say, "Keith Manley." "Oh, yeah, Keith Manley. We know him. We heard him on the radio. We've seen him on, you know, Fresh Oil. We you know, this, that, and the other." I love it when people say that. I think it's cool. So you know who he is because his reputation has preceded him. And it's a good reputation. Praise God for that. Amen. So let me turn my attention to my 2 points. I got this far and didn't even get to the first point yet. How you like that? Well, you know you're getting 3 sermons for the price of 1, right? What do you expect? A bargain? This is the bargain one. I'm the middle one, so I'm the bargain one. I'm the wild child here. Okay. But let me just read a couple of scriptures and make my final 2 points here before we let Pastor Dave really wow you. No laughter? Okay, fine. In the 10th chapter of John, and you've already heard Pastor Dan tell us a little bit about this, but Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd gives his life for his sheep. In John chapter 10, verse 11. Boy, you know, that one phrase all by itself is enough to humble you, especially if you've been in that role of caring for others. I mean, pastor in a church, but sometimes caregiver when called upon to family members or even to friends or strangers. It's a humbling responsibility to know that it's an investment that goes beyond just 40 hours. It's an investment that sometimes really tugs at your heart. It's an investment that sometimes requires you to give up what you want to do because of the need of someone else. To lay down your life is not always that of a physical laying down, but many times it is a laying down of your own desires for the needs of others. And, you know, as a parent, you understand that. And in many ways, the pastoral role is that of a parent. He's being an example, as the scripture talks about, not lording over, not doing it for the wrong reason, but doing it because God has called him, being willing to put himself in a secondary role and his needs and desires in a secondary role for the needs of others. That's a sacrificial heart that a pastor must have. Let me get to my last point here. I also like to consider that not only does he have a sacrificial heart, he has a tender heart to the things of God, to the Word of God, and to the Spirit of God. You know, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel." This is speaking of hearing and doing the Word of God. You know, it also expresses it more directly in James chapter 1 and verse 22, where he says, "Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." You know, just like a parent, a pastor can't say, "Do as I say, don't do as I do." Paul famously said, look at me, follow me. You know, if you want to know what a real Christian is, look at me. Why, that is something else, isn't it? When you say, you know, if you want to know what a real Christian is, follow me even as I follow Christ. That's pretty amazing. And then, in a similar way, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7 says, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. So a shepherd with a tender heart will be directed by the Word of God and by the direction given to him by the Holy Spirit and applying it to himself as well as communicating it to his flock. The shepherd with a tender heart is sensitive to the Word of God and to the Spirit's direction. Third one, Pastor.
Good morning. Welcome to our surprise Pastor Appreciation Day. Actually, although today's not a surprise, it's also not a surprise how much we love you, Pastor Keith. So I get to go last because I'm the youngest. I want everybody to know I'm the youngest of the... I think it'll be okay, as long as you don't fall down. Yeah, that would be good. So, because I am the youngest, I'm actually the last speaker of the day, which means the good news is we get to go downstairs shortly after I get done speaking. So, for food and fellowship. The bad news is I have 3 decades of relationship with Pastor Keith to talk about. Well, the next letter in Pastor Hart is obedience. I get one of the hardest letters to cover. Obedience is not really a very popular word or thought to many people. The very concept of obedience goes against the very nature of God or of man. The word obey is defined as this: to comply with the command, the direction, or the request of a person or a law, or to submit to the authority of a person or a law. Not many of us like those thoughts, do we? Through lies and deception, Satan led Adam and Eve to be disobedient, the opposite of obedience, leading mankind to death and allowing that sinful nature to form and take hold. Because of the fall, obedience is something that doesn't come natural to mankind. You know, I do a lot of weddings over the last decade or so, and I've literally had dozens of couples specifically say to me, we do not want the word obey in our ceremony. Imagine that. Disobedience, both civil and spiritual, continue to lead mankind towards death and destruction. Obedience is something that we learn throughout life. Amen? Children obey their parents out of love and respect and a desire to please, and maybe a little fear sometimes too. We obey laws because we fear the consequences that may come at us. We obey our bosses because we fear losing our jobs. And we obey our wives when we're told to take out the garbage, for obvious reasons. Listen, but for the unsaved, obeying a God that they cannot see, that they don't know, love, fear, or respect, seems foolish. They have no direct consequences to their actions because they can't see this God, and they have no understanding of the eternal loss that they face. To them, obedience to an unseen God is foolishness. But true obedience is an act of worship. It is done out of love and trust. It is not weakness. Amen? After Saul's battle against the Amalekites, Saul had saved the best of all the herds. You remember the story? The best of all the herds as a sacrifice to the Lord after being instructed by God to kill everything. And that's when the prophet Samuel made this statement. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. You've ever wondered, how can obedience be better than sacrifice when so often our obedience requires sacrifice? Samuel's statement is quoted by many Christians, and I don't think a lot of us truly understand the spiritual implications of what he said. Saul had directly disobeyed the Lord's instruction to do what he thought was the right thing to do. How often do we all allow our own thoughts and desires to lead us in what we will do rather than really listening and being obedient to God's word? Anybody like Charles Spurgeon? I want to read something that he specifically wrote some time ago, obviously. He said, moreover, brethren, to obey is better than sacrifice in the matter of caring for the sick and the needy of all classes. We rejoice in the number of hospitals which adorn our cities. These are the princely trophies of the power of our holy religion. To these we triumphantly point as among the ripe fruits of that Christianity which is for the healing of the nations, chiefly in a spiritual, but also in a physical aspect of man's diseased and woe-begone state. There are no nobler words in our language than those inscribed on so many walls, supported by voluntary contributions. We glory in them. Rome's monuments, Greek trophies, Egypt's mighty tombs, and Assyria's huge monoliths are dwarfed in petty exhibitions of human pride and vanity before the sublime majesty of these exhibitions of a God-given love for our own fellow men. But all these homes of mercy and healing become evils to ourselves, although they are blessings to the distressed, if we contribute from our wealth to their treasury and neglect personally to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, to feed the hungry, to care for the sick, and do not, like the Master, go about doing good. Give as God has given you, but remember, God acts as well as gives. Go and do likewise. Sacrifice, but also obey. So the Owen pastor stands for his heart being obedient to the Master's commands. Obedient, even when it doesn't make sense. Obedient when it requires personal sacrifice of all types. Obedient even when his own feelings and emotions try to push him the opposite direction. Obedient because he loves and trusts God with all his heart. This October, in 1986, a young couple had attended Pastor Key's church. At that time, Grace Family was called the Tabernacle of Praise. That couple had come to church hoping to put their life back together. But the following week, they did not return. They had stayed home arguing, and the husband was packing his bags, ready to call it quits. But in obedience, on a Sunday afternoon, after that couple had not come to church for the second time, Pastor Keith and Kathy made a bold and uninvited visit to this young couple's house. Not knowing them, not knowing the circumstances, not knowing the horrible argument that they were having, they were just being obedient to God's voice. After hours of yelling and arguing, and through love and patience and obedience, through God's leading, Pastor Keith counseled and convinced that young couple to give it another try and come back to church. That young couple was Becky and I. Pastor Keith, your obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit has changed my life and my wife's life eternally. And I will forever be grateful for your leading and teaching and obedience to God. So why is obedience better than sacrifice? Because your obedience could and will change somebody's life. Because obedience requires action, and action creates results. Because you can sacrifice and you can give till it hurts, but without obedience to God's call, you'll miss out on all the good things God already has planned for you and all the blessings He's already had saved for you. And all this is Pastor Appreciation Day. I want to thank the rest of the staff and all the people that put their time and effort and thought and care into this church, because you all make this place what it is, Grace Family Church. And I consider it an honor to be here with you all. I think I have to talk a little faster. The last letter in Pastor is the letter R. R is for reflective. When we think about something being reflective, a few possibilities come to light. No pun intended. When I think of reflection, I think of a shiny surface or a still pool of water or a mirror, something that reflects the light coming back into it. The other possibility is when somebody thinks deeply about something. We call that person a reflective thinker. And a pastor embraces both these descriptions at the very same time. A true pastor is always thinking and seeking deeply in the scriptures, reflecting on what he has studied. At the very same time, he must also be aware of what reflection he is showing to those around him. He must reflect the light in him so others can see his actions and hear it in his words. A pastor is reflective and considers that he is but a man. People tend to idolize others in high places, actors, sports figures, musicians, leaders in business. Christians actually tend to put TV preachers and teachers on a pedestal. And even a lot of local pastors end up on that pedestal. We're not here to put Pastor Keith on a pedestal today. Just show him how much we love him and appreciate him. Amen? But the true pastor's heart knows that the light he reflects is not his own, but it's that which comes from and only through the Father. Pastor has to reflect on every aspect of the church, the building, the bills, the music, the sermons, the people, the community, the programs. He has to reflect on being a spouse, a parent, a friend, a counselor. A lot of reflection. But at the end of each day, a pastor reflects on what he did to build the kingdom of God and to encourage and build up the people of his church. And I know that each and every day, the Pastor Keith's main concern is how did he reflect Christ in everything he did, everything he said, with every person he spoke with. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you, it's only through the strength of the Holy Spirit that Pastor Keith, in his obedience to hearing God, can carry on just one day of the responsibilities of being a pastor, let alone 33 years. Pastor, I am personally honored to call you my friend. And I am honored to be a part of this church and serve with you all and serve the Lord. As a congregation of believers, we want to say thank you. Thank you for speaking truth in a world that's gone deaf to truth. Thank you for teaching God's word, not warm and fuzzy feel-good sermons or man-made rules or regulations that seem to have permeated many of today's churches. Thank you for continuing to answer God's call. Thank you for being the person that you are and the pastor that you are. We love you, and we all appreciate you more than words can say. Amen. So today we actually have a couple of special guests that have come today. Please be seated. They've come all the way from Chicago, Illinois, to celebrate with us. The Blues Brothers.
AVS Media Demo.
Start it over.
From the beginning, please.
AVS Media Demo.
Coming to you at Valley Boulevard, writing this song about Pastor. It's sure ain't hard, and when you hear it, you'll get something. So don't you worry, 'cause we're coming. He's a soul man. He's a soul man.
Please, Steve.
He's a soul man. The hard way, it keeps getting better each and every day. Now, Pastor, don't you fret, 'cause you ain't seen nothing yet. He's a soul man.
AVS Media.
He's a soul man. He's a soul man. He's a soul man.
Listen to me.
So sweet. He learned how to preach before he could eat. He was educated about God. And when he starts preaching, he just can't stop. He's a soul man. He's a soul man. He's a soul man.
AVS Media Demo.
Just shaking it up a little bit. Isn't that awesome? Well, just something you didn't expect. I think that is kind of nice about that. All right. And Pastor was surprised. That's about the only surprise out of the whole day so far. Amen.